Good morning. Welcome back to the broadcast, Retirement Network. This is BRN AM for Friday, March 8th, 2024. And our top story today, the U.S. Congress and the Department of Labor stay busy with new retirement and health care legislation and regulation. Joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Kendra Isaacson is a principal with Mindset. Kendra, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is fun, and I want to get your perspective on a lot of things going on with retirement and healthcare benefits. Let's start this segment focused on retirement. Let's talk about what is coming down the pike in terms of regulation and legislation. Let's start with legislation. What are you hearing? What are you seeing in terms of things that might go into effect potentially in 2024 and beyond?
Yeah, well, I think top of mind for everyone is getting the Secure 2.0 technicals done. You know, the committees of jurisdiction put out a discussion draft in December, and I know that they've been taking in a lot of feedback. The debate of what is a technical has been, I think, a very educational experience for everyone. A lot more involvement, I think, than in a usual technical package. And we haven't seen the final package. It was not included in the, you know, the tax compromise that Wyden-Smith brokered. I think there's still hope that if that package is moving, hopefully technicals could be done and added to that, but more likely it'll be added to another vehicle later this year. So I think that is the legislative package that has the most likelihood of passing before the end of this Congress. But everyone loves to talk about what's next for Secure 3.0. And, you know, I think a lot of people, now that I'm on this side of the world, I'm like, you know, slow down. We've got to implement a lot of these provisions and work out some of the kinks on the implementation side. But, you know, I think there are a lot of ideas out there and there's a lot of momentum and excitement because retirement's one of the few bipartisan areas that are left. So I think people want to channel their energy into that and actually have some productivity in Congress. So I think this is a great time for anyone who has any ideas to get them out there, get them socialized. I know, you know, the different committees are planning for what Congress could look like if, you know, suddenly someone finds themselves in the majority when they're in the minority right now. And, you know, it could be a flip on both sides, both chambers. So it's exciting. And I've been working with a lot of my old colleagues in helping them, you know, hone some ideas, get some new ideas out there. And I think there's a lot left to be done. And there's just, a lot that we can build on from Secure 1 and 2.0. I do hope that one of the things that we can come up with is a new name, Secure 3.0. I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you guys are, when you were on the Senate side, I think very creative when it comes to naming the bills. I don't know how that's done, but hopefully, you know, maybe we could have a potluck where people just throw in and they try to name the bill. That might be a cool way to engage consumers. That would be fun. Kendra, I want to ask you, we were talking before about your experience working on the Hill and working with the HELP Committee. There's been some focus on the HELP Committee, by the HELP Committee, I should say, around addressing the retirement crisis, improving pensions, improving retirement plans in general for people. What's your takeaway from what's going on the Hill, even though you are a little removed from that now?
Well, as much as it hurts to say I'm removed, I'd like to think I still have like one foot in the door, sure. and still pretty close, but, you know, the HELP Committee, I love to see that they are still committed to working on retirement issues. They had their first hearing under the new leadership last week. I think it's no secret. Senator Sanders likes DB plans. And he really wants to, you know, bring them back. And he's looking for ideas. He has an RFI out right now. What are your ideas on bringing back DB plans? I'm not sure we're going to be able to do that, but it is, you know, heartening to see IBM's moving back to a cash balance, and there's some movement there. But I think probably what we're likely to be able to do is put more of that energy and make DC plans operate more like a DB plan by including lifetime income options and things like that. But Senator Sanders also loves an ESOP, which I think is a really fascinating, very niche area. So for the ESOP attorneys out there, this is your time.
But I think they're in vogue now, right? I mean, do you remember they consolidated, contracted, but now I think it's cool to have an ESOP. It's in. It's like Taylor Swift ESOPs. They're both cool.
I probably wouldn't have put Taylor Swift and ESOPs together, but I love it. I didn't know you were Swiftie, so I'll
Am
try
a
to work in
Swiftie.
some Taylor Swift references.
Let me ask you a last question before we go to a commercial break, Kendra. I want to ask you about the fiduciary rule. This one, more regulatory, and you talked about some of the technicals. That's legislative with some corrections. But let's talk about the regulatory focus of the Department of Labor. They're working on a lot, including some of this technical stuff. I'm going to call stuff because I'm not an attorney. But what about the fiduciary rule? This one, I think there's a lot of opinions around this one.
Oh, yes, opinions for sure. I mean, they are pretty hardened opinions at this point. For those of us who've had to work on this issue, I think it's what, 12 plus years. I think everyone has a little PTSD, including some of the staff who are like, please, on the Hill, they're like, please, no more. It tends to dominate conversation on the Hill and on the outside now. So, fiduciary rule proposed in Halloween, I believe, is the day it came out. Lots of bad jokes there about zombies and zombie regulations coming back, but it has really kept your benefits attorneys on their toes and very busy getting those billables at the end of the year to make that January 2nd comment deadline. There were over 19,000 comments submitted. And so DOL is in the process of reviewing those comments right now and working to finalize the regulation. Lots of opinions, and who, what will happen? Gosh, I don't know. I think we're likely to see litigation like we did back in 2016, 2017. And whether it will be vacated or not is, for someone who likes to predict these things, I like to when I am not being recorded. So, if I make a really bad prediction, no one will know, or just a very select few. But, I think this one could be very interesting. I think it is, we're in a different world than we were in 2016. And, if you look at the fiduciary rule kind of in different parts, there's the rule, the prohibited transaction, 2020-02, and then there's the 8424. I think you need to examine each of those separately. 2020-02 has already been litigated and it survived. And so, what would a court do? It could it wipe everything? Sure. Or it could look at it individually and there could be parts that are standing. I also think, the election in November will have a huge impact on what happens with the fiduciary rule. Regardless of whether it's finalized in time to, before a CRA or any of that, if the administration changes, I think we're likely to be back in deja vu where, we're likely to see a non-enforcement policy and another redo of the fiduciary rule. So, I think if anyone's hoping that they are not going to have to do any fiduciary work for a while, I think that they should. They can't get out of it. They better get into it at this point, because they're going to be working on it for quite some time, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Kendra, as I said, we need to take a very quick break. Excuse me. When we come back, we're going to talk about healthcare. So we're going to flip the script a little bit, talk about healthcare. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM.
Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? Especially for the smaller businesses. I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy. featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries.
33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you gotta start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're gonna change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
Kendra, welcome back. Thanks so much for staying with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. You do, and this is great. It's always great to have someone kind of shift perspectives and to share that perspective with us on the network. Let's talk about healthcare, because there has been a lot of debate, a lot of discussion going on, a lot of regulation. Let's start with legislation first. Where do we stand with new healthcare legislation?
So new healthcare legislation, there's been a lot of activity in this area, especially in the pharmacy benefit managers area. You know, there's been a huge debate and discussion whether or not it would make it into the government funding bill. And we just recently learned that it didn't make the cut. And I think Senate Finance Chair Wyden is pretty disappointed about that. But I think he's going to keep fighting for it. And there's a lot of momentum and a lot of movement on that PBM front in Congress. And for those of you in the DC area, there's been a lot of advertising on both sides. Would be happy to go back to normal commercials for those and avoid the PBM commercials for a while. So healthcare bills tend not to go by themselves, like most bills these days, but especially in the healthcare side, post-ACA, they really have to hitch a ride to a bigger bill. So the government funding bill is really the opportunity for some action. And so there was a lot of debate. PBMs didn't make it. You know, there have been a lot of riders for unpopular policies of the administration, defund this rule or that one. And those didn't make it either in this first round of government funding bills. Then there was a bill about the opioid epidemic, and that didn't make the cut either. But there were a couple of things that did survive and manage. They're going to be on the package. There's a Medicare increase for doctor compensation. And then community health centers, there's a lot of support in Congress for community health centers. So there's an increase in that. And there is always a bipartisan effort about addressing substance abuse. So this one is this legislative piece is directed at Medicaid, and it would permanently require state Medicaid programs to cover certain treatments. I think there's just a lot of momentum around certain aspects of healthcare, but some of the bigger ideas are a little more difficult to get across the finish line.
Yeah, well, you got to hitch a ride. Like everything, as you said, that you can't, there's very, very rarely, I would imagine, standalone bills. What about, I want to talk about drug pricing. That would seem to be kind of popped up, I guess, last year, 2023, it's 2024. But from time to time, when I'm putting my newsletter together every morning, there's always a story about the negotiation, someone suing somebody around the price negotiation. Where does that stand? Because I think the goal was to reduce some of the more popular pharmaceutical drugs.
Yeah, this is a really tough issue. And I think there's new leadership in, obviously in the chambers, but within the committees of jurisdiction here. And I think that has put things, it has slowed things down a little bit as the parties figure out each other, I guess, and where they're coming from. So I think there is still a small chance. I think this is something that is more likely to happen when there's a really big bill. And I think a lot of the pharmaceutical stuff could happen on the tax side when we open up TCJA or when they're expiring and sort of everything is on the table next year. I think there's a lot of potential for everything to get a ride at that point. This year feels like, you know, a bit of a dormant period where everyone's feeling each other out and you know, making plans for next year.
Yeah, you know, that big thing called an election tends to drive a lot of focus, I guess. Last question, Kendra, and this is, I don't know, it's kind of out of left field, but I'll just ask it anyway. Where does, you know, we're talking about benefits today, but a lot of benefits is dependent on information and data. Where does privacy and data kind of fall in this realm? I mean, you know, is it something that these committees take up, or does it go to, you know, because there's been data breaches or concerns about how people are using data, where does this fall with the within these committees of jurisdiction around the benefits we're talking about this morning?
Yeah, I mean, this is such an interesting question. You know, there were the recent cyber attacks on health networks, which prompted Schumer to say, you know, let's get to the bottom of this. And, you know, just being on the Hill for the past 8 years, I can tell you that we did a number of exercises where they're sort of all committee exercises where, you know, privacy and cybersecurity, which are, you know, different concepts, but they're kind of, they're related. We would go through these exercises and talk about sort of like a mega bill and how to address it in each issue area. So I'm curious, you know, I think that is something that like the Commerce Committee would lead. And there has been a lot of work done, though it has not really seen the light of day. And so, you know, what is going to be the tipping point to really push that forward, or if pieces will start breaking off and actually successfully go through committees? I think part of the problem is, you know, these are hard issues and they're very tech forward, which sometimes Congress has a reputation for not being the most tech forward. You know, that infamous hearing where people were like, how does Facebook make money? You know, I always think of that when you like have to go and sort of dig down in some of these really pressing issues. And this is where sometimes I think Congress has a really hard time of keeping up with the problems that we're facing on the outside. And this is where maybe we need some regulatory nimbleness. Is that even a word? I don't know.
Yeah, no, it is. I like that. I think you do need a little regulatory nimbleness. And look, I mean, these are issues that even involve state sponsors. States, cyber attacks are not just a group of people that could be, you know, state-sponsored as well. Kendra, there are a lot of issues. We really appreciate you coming back, coming on the program. We look forward to having you back on the program again very soon.
Thank you so much. I really had fun, and gosh, I have so much more I want to talk to you about, so I would love to come back.
That wraps up this episode of BRNAM. Have a topic of interest? Somebody you think we should talk to? Hey, drop us a line, and don't forget, for all the latest curated news and lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more, and all in one place, check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives, check out our latest content, then visit our website. Hey, we're back again tomorrow with another edition of BRN Weekly. We'll be joined by Jane King from the NASDAQ and a very special guest. Until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.